Good evening. It's good to see you back tonight. I hope you're glad to be here. Trust that you are. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we will begin. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we have back in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the restful or peaceful afternoon that you gave most of us, if not all of us. Thank you, Lord, for just this time to be together in your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I'd like to ask you to turn to Luke's Gospel in chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is where we're going to be this evening. And some of you may remember that as we continued our study of Luke's Gospel, it was last week that we came to this familiar portion of Scripture that is commonly referred to as the story of the prodigal son. So I want to remind us of just a little bit of what we talked about last week, what we gave attention to, and then, of course, make our way into tonight's message. So it was last week that we watched as the younger son came to the father and demanded of the father that he give him his portion of the inheritance. We don't know what provoked this. We don't know what caused this to happen. But nonetheless, that is what the younger son did. I reminded us then that there is no way that we have the entire conversation recorded for us. We just have the highlights given to us. And so I said it would make sense to assume that the father would have tried to talk the young man, his son, out of this decision. He would have cared about his son, would have seen the folly of it, and would have tried to talk him out of it. But the son refused to listen to any kind of reason, so the father gave in and gave him his inheritance. I asked us to consider this question: why would the father do this? Obviously, the father was not some delinquent dad. He was not some loser of a dad, so why would he do this? And one of the logical reasons seems to be this, that the dad must have known that this was the only way a lesson could be learned. It might be hard, it might be painful, it might be difficult, but that was the only way the lesson could be learned. And I tried to remind us last week that sometimes we're like the younger son. Maybe not demanding the inheritance, but we get these crazy ideas in our head of things that we want to do, things we want to accomplish, things we want for our lives. And the Father speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, trying to warn us and trying to caution us and tries to show us the folly of our desires. And yet, if we're not careful, we can demand our rights and we can demand our ability to do such a thing. And he lets us because that's the only way we'll learn some lessons sometimes. And so I just want to remind us of what we talked about last week, that we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit because he's trying to help us avoid some pain and avoid some mistakes that we're going to regret. So that's what we talked about last week. Tonight we're moving on. I want to begin tonight by talking about something that I know all of us are familiar with. You know this as well as I do. But between here and Amarillo, we've got pretty much a flat, straight shot the entire way on four-lane highway. It's a nice little stretch of road. It's an easy little drive to make it over to Amarillo. So that's what we have available to us. Now tonight, in light of that, some of you would know this, others of you would not, but Susie drives a little Nissan crossover car, all right? There's nothing sporty about it in and of itself. You don't look at that and say, well, that's a race car. No, not at all. It's just a little crossover. But the way it's geared and the way it's put together, that thing will scoot. I've had it to 95 miles an hour before, and it wasn't even trying. It was just cruising smoothly at 95 miles an hour. So I want you to imagine tonight that I said to you, every time we go to Amarillo, I set the cruise on 95 and make good time getting over there. If I said that that's what we did, and then I solicited a response from you all as to what you think about my approach to getting to Amarillo, I don't know what all of you all would say, but I think many of you would say, among other things, Brother Kyle, that's dumb. That's foolish. You don't need to be driving that fast, especially just to get to Amarillo. You need to dial it back a little bit and just drive the speed limit. Well, something else you wouldn't know, unless we had just had a really awkward or weird conversation at some point, not awkward as much as just not necessary, Susie and I carry a credit card. And it's a credit card that we use to get points so that we can do things with those points at different times. And we pay it off every month. We never, ever, ever carry a balance. But that's what we do all of our spending on, is this particular credit card. We normally spend about $2,000 to $2,500 a month on all of our expenses. Yet our credit limit is just over $21,000 on that credit card. So imagine I said to you, tomorrow, Susie and I are going to Amarillo, and we're shopping, and we're going to have fun. We're going to go to an expensive restaurant. We're going to eat one of the finest meals we have ever eaten. And then we're going to go to stores, and we're going to max out our credit card. We're going to spend all $21,000 available to us. And suppose I said after that, what do you think? Here's what I think most of you would say in response to that. Brother Kyle, that's dumb. Brother Kyle, that's foolish. Brother Kyle, that's not something you need to do. So think about this. If I said I'm going to drive 95 miles an hour over to Amarillo and spend $21,000 tomorrow on my credit card, you would say, Brother Kyle, you need your head examined. You need to make wiser decisions. Now, I could go on, but here's what I'm trying to remind us of tonight, and you understand this, that just because I can do something doesn't mean I should do something. Just because I can do something does not mean it's a wise choice. Just because I can doesn't make it smart. And so sometimes, even though I have the ability to do it, I don't need to for my own good. Now this evening, thinking on all that and finally getting to the text, I want us to look at something tonight that got my attention at an odd time. I know you're not worried about this, but I'm just going to tell you real quick. It is amazing sometimes the number of thoughts I have go through my head while I'm trying to preach to you and try to keep all this straight and try to make sense of what it is I'm trying to communicate. So last week, in the midst of preaching and going through the text with us, I saw something that either I have never seen before or I had forgotten it so soundly it was like I had never seen it before. And so I want us to begin in verse number 11 tonight, and it's the exact same passage that we looked at last week. But in verse number 11, it says this, "And he, that being Jesus, said, a certain man had two sons." We know this. We're familiar with this. It says in verse number 12, "And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he, the father, divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Now, in this text that we dealt with last week, what was it that got my attention in the midst of trying to preach the sermon then? We'll go back to verse number 12. It says, "The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And then it says in the last verse, "And he divided unto them his living." What's important about this last verse, or last sentence rather, in this verse? Well, it says that the father divided unto them his living, or his inheritance. Now, please, if you've known this since second grade, if you've known this since like junior church, just sit here and humor me, all right? But for maybe the rest of us who haven't really thought about this, be as excited about it as I was whenever this kind of came to my attention, all right? It says in verse number 12 that he, the Father, divided unto them, his sons, plural, his living. So what does this tell us? Well, it tells us this, if you understand English or grammar or linguistics at all, and maybe those aren't even the right words, that's how unfamiliar I am with what I just said, but if you'll think about this, here is what we see in verse number 12, that the older son got the exact same thing the younger son got on the exact same day. It's not as though the younger son got his portion of the inheritance and the father said, well, I'm going to hold on to the rest of it until I pass away, then my older son will get his portion. No, it was on this same day that the younger son got his inheritance, that the older son got his inheritance. How much was that? Well, we don't know how much it was. But let's think about it in terms that we could understand and be familiar with tonight. Let's just imagine that the inheritance from our perspective was sizable. Now, what is sizable? Well, that's all relative, is it not? But let's just, for sake of illustration, say Dad was really, really well off. And so he was worth $5 million. So, well, where'd you come up with that number? I totally pulled it out of the air, okay? I have no idea what the man's net worth was, but we're just going to pretend he was worth $5 million. We're just going to pretend that he split it down the middle. So the younger son got $2.5 million, and the older son got $2.5 million. And so what happened? It says in verse number 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. After he got his inheritance, got his things together, it says, then he took his journey into the far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. So what all that included, what all it looked like, it's speculation on our part, but we're probably pretty close. The young man had a quote-unquote good time until all his money was spent, because that's what happened. It says in verse number 14, and he spent all. He blew through everything his father gave him. Now, while the younger son is out living this riotous lifestyle, while this younger son is out having a good time, while this younger son is out living it up, what is the older son doing? Apparently, he's still at home. Apparently, he is still on the family farm. He is still engaged in the family business. What all that would have been, what all that would have looked like, it really doesn't matter. We just know this, that the older son stayed in his place and did what needed to be done. Him receiving his portion of the inheritance did not, listen now, it did not change his approach to life one bit. He just kept doing what he had always been doing. Now someone says, right, that's obvious, it's clear, we know this. All right, but I want us to think about this principle that is clear here, if we'll think about it. I want us to think about the older son with his inheritance. He had the same opportunities as the younger son. He had the same abilities as the younger son or his younger brother. He had the ability to do everything his brother did, but he chose not to do it. So then in my mind, it raises this question. Why? If you've got millions of dollars available to you, if that's what it would be equal to in today's terms, if you've got all this available to you, and you could leave and you could start a new life for yourself, or if you could go have fun and live it up and do what your younger brother did, if you've got all this available to you, but you didn't, why didn't you? Or why didn't he? And maybe there are many different answers to the question. Maybe we would have to sit down with him and pick his brain to get all the reasons as to why he did not do such. But I think at some point this thought would come up from him, that he looked at what was available, what he had the ability to do, and came to this conclusion, that's dumb. Just because I can doesn't mean I should. Just because the opportunity is there doesn't mean it's smart. Just because I have this available to me does not mean that that is a good way to go with my life. So we see this principle playing out in the life of the older son, the older brother, that I tried to convey just a moment ago. Even though he could, he knew it wasn't smart, so he chose not to do such. Now we hear this tonight, and I know how simple the principle is, I know how simple the thoughts are, but I want us to consider a question tonight. And I think this is an important question. The question is this: how many people do we know, Christians included, who have decided they needed to do certain things solely using this logic? Well, the opportunity came up, and I had to take advantage of the opportunity. Something was presented to me by way of ability, and only by that logic did they come to this conclusion, I need to take advantage of this. And what they did and what they took advantage of and what they tried to capitalize on was something that actually led them to a pig pen. We see this a lot. If you're not sure, I'm just going to give us a couple of illustrations that I have seen by way of observation over the years. Things that are undeniable, and they have been hurtful, if not destructive, on many different levels. It starts out like this. I have a job opportunity. I have a job opportunity. What does that mean? Well, it means I've got this opportunity to take this job. Okay. There is an opportunity available. But you know what people need to be reminded of? Opportunities don't equal God's will, and opportunities don't equal good decisions, and opportunities don't equal blessings somewhere down the road. Amen. We need to catch this. I was thinking about this for myself, and I'm just being honest with you. Over the years, I've had opportunities from the career standpoint to do other things. And I could have justified it, and I could have rationalized it, and I could have said, it must be what God wants for me, because after all, the opportunity is available. Friends, we need to be reminded, just because an opportunity comes up related to our careers does not mean it's God's will. I could tell you name after name after name after name of people who have pursued career opportunities because they presented themselves or itself to them, and they later regretted it. We hear things like this in relation to relationships. Well, the opportunity presented itself. And because of the opportunity, it must have been the Lord's will. I mean, he likes me and I like him, or she likes me and I like her. You know, and I just think we're really a good match right now, and that's why I think this is the Lord's will. Just be honest with me for a minute. How many people did you like growing up? Not all of them were God's will. I didn't need 73 different wives. And that's about what I would have had if I had pursued all the, well, what I thought were opportunities, okay? They were opportunities in my mind, okay? But you understand what I'm saying? Just because a boy and a girl likes each other, it doesn't mean that that's God's will. You may be sitting here saying, Brother Kyle, I am so past that point. I mean, like, I'm not even thinking about that. That's not even what's a part of my thought process. I understand, but we got to remember this for our kids and grandkids. Just because an opportunity comes up in their life doesn't mean it's God's will and something we need to be encouraging and endorsing and all excited about. Do you know how many marriages are nothing more than a pig pen because people pursued the logic of the opportunity available to them rather than knowing God's will for their life? Just because the opportunity presents itself doesn't mean it's the Lord's will. We see this happen so many times in the realm of people and their finances. Well, I had this opportunity. Well, what difference does that make? I've got a credit card with a $21,000 credit limit. I could say I've had lots of opportunities, but it doesn't mean it's God's will. There's the opportunity of pleasure. Well, I can do this. Well, we can do that. Well, we can afford this, or I can pay for this later. It's the opportunity that presents itself, so we need to act upon this opportunity. Again, how many people have got themselves in some serious messes because their only rationalization for doing certain things was, I can, or I have the ability, or this opportunity presents itself, and I have to take advantage of such. All I'm trying to remind us of tonight is this: the ability to do something does not equal God's will for the matter. I know that by way of observation, and I know that through personal experience. And some of you do as well. The ability, the opportunity, the capability, whatever you want to call it, does not equal God's will. So what do we have to do when opportunity presents itself? When it looks like we can, whatever it is that might be of interest to us, what are we in need of in those moments? Well, we're in need of the Lord's discernment, which means we've got to pray about some things. And we've got to know whether or not it's the Lord's will, whatever it might be. And if the Holy Spirit is saying to us, this is my will, and this is an opportunity that I have given to you, we need to pursue it with all that we've got. But if the Holy Spirit of God says, this is not my will, no matter how good or how promising or fun it may be, if we pray about something and the Holy Spirit says no, it doesn't matter how many doors may appear to be open, We need to just stop and say, nope, I'm not pursuing it. Because it's not wise. It would be dumb to continue on. Because it's just going to take us someplace we don't want to go. I don't know about you. I know for myself, sometimes I'm impulsive. You ever been impulsive? A few of us have. And here it is, so I just gotta. No, we don't. Sometimes it's the worst thing that we can do for ourselves. So maybe not a new thought, maybe not anything you need, but some of us need the reminder, just because we can doesn't mean we should. Because if we did, it could hurt us in the long run. Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for prayer. Fathers, I come to you this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts tonight. I pray that you'd remind us of this truth, that there are some times we need to not do what's available, because in the long run, it's not going to help us. I know for myself, it's easy to see others who have made this mistake, and it's a little bit harder to see where I've made the mistakes. But all of us need your help, and we all need your discernment. So I pray that you'd remind us tonight that we can only have that if we seek it. And if we're going to seek it, we need to follow whatever it is you tell us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.